Greetings from the end of the kingdom, series 7, episode 9. And this really is the final episode. I'm at home now. I am sitting on my sofa. I should have gone into work. Well, I did actually, to be fair, I did go into work. And I am extremely tired, okay, like, and achy. So I thought I'd sort of do this last episode as a kind of retrospective, kind of look back over the 8 or 9 days of the Cornish adventure. And so I'd start off with letting you know what happened. So my parents took us to the water park, which is kind of odd really, because my mum paid for it. And then I had to go along, and she's like, oh, it's for my son. And then sort of I appear, you know, with all my leather skin and wrinkles and quite obviously a middle-aged man, which is quite funny when there's lots of very young people around, you know, and obviously with Lucas in tow. And I went to put on my wetsuit, and the last time I did this was about 2 years ago. And in the past year, I put on a stone, and sorry, my phone just went off there because I am technically still at work. And so, because I put on a stone in the past year. So I went to put on my wetsuit and realised that I was going to struggle getting into it. So I quickly chose not to do that and just went for the shorts option. And then I couldn't decide whether to wear a t-shirt or not because I was feeling a little bit self-conscious. And in the end, I didn't. And then we spent a good hour on the floats, and it was exhausting. It was absolutely exhausting. I mean, we were already tired anyway from a week's worth of activities, but then to suddenly do this wonderful water float experience of jumping off floats and trying not to fall into the water, and it wasn't like a hot day. It was hot, it wasn't like you fell in and you felt refreshed. The water wasn't really that cold, to be fair. So it wasn't that much of a sort of a shock to the system, as it were. And then we went back to my parents' home, and we had dinner and had ordered too much food. And then we had, the drive home. We were stuck in traffic on the M25 for about 20 minutes, which took way too long. The journey usually to my parents' house is about 2 hours, and this was about 2.5. But so once we got home, it was just like, unloaded the car. I still haven't unloaded the camping bag. I've done all the washing and stuff. When I got up this morning, I was kind of like, okay, I'll record the last podcast first thing. I just didn't have the energy at all. I mean, it really took me a long time to sort of get motivated, and my whole body ached. Excuse me. My whole body aches. And then I realised it's not surprising, really, because I've been on the go for 8 days straight. So what would appear, you know, it's supposed to be a relaxing holiday, and there was really nothing relaxing about it. So I think I spent far too much money. But life's too short. So I'm not complaining too much about that. It just is, you know, it is what it is. I don't like that phrase, but and I don't often use it, but it, you know, I don't necessarily regret it, if it's what I'm trying to say, I suppose. So I think overall it was probably the best holiday. I mean, if you've listened to the other episodes, and I think I'm probably going to have to go back and revisit some of the other ones as to how this series has evolved. I'm fully aware that some of them I spent a lot of the time moaning. I'm probably moaning about the weather as well. I think I'll probably want to go back and listen to the first one just to sort of recap after doing 7 of them and sort of think, oh, what actually happened and how young Lucas was. Which I think I might do that today, actually. That'd be quite interesting, I think, to go back and listen to all of them over the week. because they happened at various different times of the month. I think some are quite late in August, some are quite early in July, quite early in August, some are late in July. None, I don't think, have ever been this early in July before. We've certainly never gone in what would have been classed as other counties' school holidays, which is, we're probably not going to get that opportunity again. And I think, I'm quite sure that Greetings from the End of the Kingdom Series 8 will have a very different feel about it because of, I would imagine at that point, I would have done the John O'Groats to Land's End ride. So that in itself will be very different. Certainly something to look forward to for next year. But, you know, overall, it's been a fantastic holiday. A very happy accident finding the first campsite. Obviously not happy with the first one that we arrived to, booked and paid for. That was unfortunate, really, because it's a shame. It was a nice environment. The campsite just wasn't suitable for us. And one toilet, it's just not going to do it, you know. Sorry, my leather seat. It just really wasn't going to do it for us at all. So I'm kind of glad that we didn't do that. I mean, in essence, really, I think we had three toilets on the second campsite. So it wasn't like a huge change. It was just they were a bit more acceptable and maintained, you know. So, and I kind of think that you know, the first, you know, we kind of reacted to the change in the campsite. So there was nothing specifically planned. So everything that we did was on the fly. Like, you know, we never planned to have a fire every night. We didn't, we planned to do the curry and you know, that was quite a big deal. And we certainly didn't plan to go to the beach every night either. So I think we did on the first. And certainly would never have considered going to Newquay. I mean, the whole kind of like first day was effectively unplanned and unscripted and kind of, what, you know, something that I, yeah, would never have wanted to have done, really. I don't think I would ever have wanted to have gone to Newquay. And I think I'd probably put that at the back of my mind and then only remembered what it was like when we got there. Because I think that was the potential for it to have the start of it to be quite bad. But fortunately, that was the only really bad experience there at all, actually. The rest of it was really good. So even though there were sort of some things that we did that are tried and tired, I suppose, like the Camel Creek is great, but it's kind of lost its appeal, really. It doesn't seem to be that exciting anymore, really. And I think especially, it was always meant to be exciting for Lucas, and he seemed to be only interested in the animals, you know, and he's a big ride fan, you know, so unfazed by Thorpe Park, Orton Towers and American theme parks, you know, just completely unfazed by that and loves all of that. So a little theme park like Camel Creek is not going to hold his attention, really. And I think one of the things I realise now is kind of like the stillness and the quietness and the relaxation part of Land's End is a kind of missed. Because ordinarily I would have got up this morning with it being lovely and just gone out in the garden and drank my coffee out there. I didn't even have the energy for that. And because I do that, obviously, I only did it for four mornings, I think I did it at Land's End. And it was just sort of sitting there, staring at the Atlantic and the quietness and, you know, just absorbing the atmosphere. And it's, don't get me wrong, I love my garden, it's great now. So it's kind of nice to sort of be out there and just chill. But I'm reminded that's why I go to Land's End, because that's what that gives me, is that sort of peace that I don't get anywhere else. And I think, and that is the reason why I like it or love it so much or consider it my favourite place. So, and that New Forest experience was horrendous. It really was. I mean, it was just not, I can't understate how, not, I mean, it wasn't bad in extent, to the extent that I would say, you know, I'd never go again. I don't know if I would go back there again at a busy time, if I'm honest, and that's a bit of a complete contradiction there. Certainly not take Lucas. But I would say that it was like getting up in the morning and just sort of being in amongst all of these families, and I can't blame the youth group because they were indoors, but just sort of seeing the place deteriorate in such a short space of time, you know, it was just like, this is really bad, you know, and they block drains and they block the toilet, and then and I was just thinking, it's the success of the Youth Hostel Association and the youth hostels themselves specifically has always been based upon the consideration of your fellow traveller and the cooperation of the users, right? Because you have to share the space with people that you don't know, so you have to show a bit of respect. Right, so you look after the place. They've only have some of these remote spaces, like the New Forest, they only have two or three members of staff on, and I only saw two. You know, and this is to feed, you know, and they've got a full house, they're making breakfast and they're finding food, doing all of these things, you know, and they've got to do the cleaning and all of that. So, you know, for these places to function, and for it to function as a charity, it requires people to look after it. And I just don't feel that happened, you know. So much so, I mean, yes, I know we're a family of germphobes, but I ended up, I can't remember if I said this in episode 8, I phoned up my mum, or texted her anyway, and said, can Lucas have a shower at hers? And she said yes. She wouldn't say no anyway, but just because I could, you know, expect him to go into such this, you know, untidiness and get ready, that just seems so unfair, you know. So I think twice. We're back in September, so I will think twice about how we go about this. Who knows, it might end up just being the Premier Inn for a night instead. Maybe I should look into that. So yeah, so I think without taking up too much of your time, as I feel that there are at least two of you who have listened to this, and so thank you to both of you for, and you know you are, I don't actually, but I know that, don't think, if you're listening to this and you've listened to the other episodes, I know that you've listened to them. I don't know who you are, as I said, but I am aware because I get told what listen, my stats tell me what listen, so thank you. I really do appreciate it. I was trying out something different this year, with it as a kind of, you know, a form of like the evolution of the project, as it were, and that was to post every day, which I did more or less, and then to update the website or the web page rather, more or less, and I did that. I ended up only writing one blog. I will write another one, and I made two videos, which I published. Both of them, made them on my phone and published them. So it was really sort of to up my mobile game, as it were. I don't mean my mobile phone game. I mean, as in being mobile, even though it was on my mobile, my tablet. So I am really pleased with the outcome of all of it. I think it all, you know, frivolously spending money on bits of kit that I don't need, and then using them, and then I'm actually doing what I want them to do. So, you know, there is that question of what else you're going to do with your life kind of thing. So I'm going to leave it there and call time on this series, and going to try. It's going to be some more different things. There's a chance I might be able to do from the other end of the kingdom at the weekend because I've got Milo and I could drive up to Nest Point. That could be cool. And take Molly's ashes with us. Molly, I shouldn't say her ashes. Take Molly with us as well. And then there's always an opportunity of a number of nights in the Southwest in September, which I'm hoping to do again. So anyway, on that note, thank you very much for joining me here on Series 7 of Greetings from the End of the Kingdom.